Okay, yeah. What are we, December 17th?
Oh, we got a lot of papers here. Jamie, Victor, Ralph in the back corner.
Yeah. Ralph's chiming in. You have to make your comments loud so Zolta can hear them. Rosh Hashanah, we're up to Perek Bet, the second chapter, Mishnah He, the fifth Mishnah. So number five, it's on the first of the pages. So we've been talking about the witnesses, spending a lot of time about the witnesses who come to testify to seeing the new moon, to sanctify the new month. We talked a lot about the laws, who can do it, the process by which then they sent out the message to other people. So this Mishnah Hey, is going to continue talking about the witnesses and some interesting things that the rabbis did to encourage people to come to be part of the process of testifying for the new month. Says the following: Chatzer gedola hayta b'Yerushalayim. There was a very large yard that was in Yerushalayim. Ubet Ya'azek hayta nikret. Its name was called Bet Ya'azek. Ulesham kol ha'edim mitkansim. Into that yard, all of the witnesses who came to testify to the new month would gather in that area. Ubet din bodkim otam. And the Bet Din would then call them in two at a time, or whatever it is, whoever was coming to testify together. And Bet Din would check them. What does that mean that Bet Din would check them? A, they would determine
them.
That, right, they would question them, right? They would determine, are they first suitable to be witnesses?
Yeah, we had the whole thing. It could be.
And then further than that, they would then ask them, you know, what did you see? Right, how does it go? And the Mishnayot, in the coming Mishnayot, will get into exactly what kinds of questions did they ask them to determine if in fact they did see what they claimed they saw. But the topic of our Mishnah is how they treated the witnesses. Useudot gedolot osim lahem bishvil sheyehu regilim lavo. They used to make very large meals. They used to put out buffets in this yard in order to encourage people to be able to come. Right? So this is not a new thing. You put out food for anybody. You have breakfast in shul. You have a class with dinner. You know, the people come. All of a sudden, they flock to the food. So it was the same back then. Anybody who tells you this is a new thing, point them straight to this Mishnah. They put out Seudot Gedolot in order to encourage the witnesses to come. At least other people's testimony was accepted before theirs, they got a free meal out of it. So whoop-de-do.
Encourage them to come.
Exactly. Barishona, in the beginning, Lo hayu zazim misham kol hayom. They would not leave the yard the entire day. This is talking about when the witnesses came on Shabbat. In a situation where the witnesses came to this yard on Shabbat. So now you have a problem of what's called Tchum Shabbat. What is Tchum Shabbat? On Shabbat, a person has a boundary that he's not allowed to cross. He's not allowed to travel more than a certain distance away from his home on Shabbat. That's the rule. The Achamim instituted that. They didn't want people to be traveling and spending their whole time walking around and going to very lengthy distances. They wanted people to stay home. This still applies today.
Could we ever break that distance?
No. What do you mean?
In other words, is it possible for a human to walk further?
In the current situation that you're in, very unlikely. I will give you an example of when it can be done. One time I heard people at Hathaway Shul on a Seudat Shlishi talking about how they went speed biking on Shabbat.
Ah.
Now, leaving the biking whatever it is. They went on the highway.
Right.
They went on the Garden State Parkway, he told me, for 30 miles.
Right, so you're in Sayreville.
Okay, so I don't know what exit he got to. He's like, we went from 105 to 130 or something.
60 miles.
Okay, so that's a big problem. That's outside.
Even if they ride down Ocean Avenue all the like to other towns.
So the reason why that's not out of the tome is because the out of the tome starts from when the city limits end, meaning when there's no more homes, right? So you basically from here all the way till as far Ocean Avenue, it's all part of one large city. It's all part of one thing. There's no ending to the homes. So today, they're different than ones once upon a time with smaller villages. You had a small village, and then you had empty things. The parkway was the issue. Well, on the Garden State Parkway, you're away from all home. Like you're out of the tomb, and they're going 40 miles.
Is there out of the tomb?
Huh? It's a good question. Well, Brooklyn going from Brooklyn to the city, biking over the bridge and things like that. So, over the bridge is a bit of an issue. And you could make a case that outside the tomb.
If you're not, forget about the biking. If you're not carrying or anything,
The rabbis instituted that they don't want the person walking too far outside of the city. The pasuk says, When Moshe Rabbeinu told Bnei Israel about collecting the manna, it said, "Al yetze ish mi mekomo b'yom ha-shivi'i." Nobody should leave their place on Shabbat, on the seventh day. The rabbis learned from there that there was a certain distance that you had to stay within a certain invisible border on Shabbat.
So today, anyway,
right?
You
so that you're not
it,
right.
You walk into another home or whatever. You're walking within the. Within,
yeah,
within,
most of the time, it's very rare. Very rare that a person, but in those kinds of examples, person's biking to the city or something like that, that you can have an issue of a person leaving his Tchum Shabbat. It does become an issue. Not to mention, you also have Tchum Shabbat plays a role. Let's say when you receive packages or mail, where's the package coming from to get to you? On right, if you get a package, let's say Saturday afternoon, where did that package originate from before Shabbat? Where was it? If it was delivered to you from outside the tchum, it's mukseh. You can't use it now. You can't open the package on Shabbat, right? Even if it's a book or something
you
like that.
You have to assume you can't use it.
Oh, right.
You can't so open it anyway, can you?
Well, if it's something if it's that you know is not mukseh,
no, but you cut it
and it's necessary for you.
Open it without ripping.
Yeah,
you're allowed to open up the box like that. Same way you can open a chip bag or something. Something that's not reusable, something you're going to throw out, you can undo the tape and open it or something like that. If you destroy the box, like you destroy open, like opening up a
so
tape.
So mail, you could actually open mail?
Yeah. Again, it depends what it is and where it's coming
there's
from.
There's if no it's a, need to open it, but
if
I'm
if right, so what the Hachamim discussed, there's a whole question
the
on this in
Hilchot
Shabbat. If something,
sometimes you get so curious.
Right, they said, if something could be, someone once told me a story. Someone once told me a story, not to be repeated from the recording, but...
Jay-Z
buttoned it up. We were by Rabbi Aluf's house. He was by Rabbi Aluf's house, and he said that he got a mail, and Rabbi Aluf opened the mail. He told the rabbi, opening the mail, he goes, it could be sakanat nefesh. Right? He said, I don't know if they want me to come to court, that they're looking for me on IRS. He goes, if it's sakanat nefesh, then you could open it. But if you know that it's a bill, if you know that it's something that you don't need for Shabbat, if you know that it's something that could be mukseh, then you should open it.
Sometimes you see something come, and you just... And you're like, what is this store? I never went to this store.
Why would I be getting something from this store?
Right, so then it's a problem to open because it's not going to benefit you. It's not going to do anything for you. And then he takes you distracting, whatever.
Sending a check.
It's a bill. Right, so you got to be careful. So, but let's say you get a package one time. I got my book delivery or something like that, and I wanted to use one of the books. Wanted to read the book on Shabbat. So if you know that it's coming from that, you can open it. The problem is, where is it coming from? If it's coming from outside the tchum, so then it's a problem.
Anyway, because these days the mail they're redirecting. You could order something from nowhere. Else.
Right. So then
to Houston before it comes
true.
To your house.
I hear you.
A guy shipped me something from Philadelphia, and I tracked it, and I saw it went to Tennessee first.
Yeah.
Tennessee to me.
Right.
So
then it becomes a problem. You have a lot of issues of coming outside the tomb.
But they're all going to come, even if it started in Jersey, it's starting in the warehouse in UPS on the 19th.
Right. But mail, you can make the case that mail was there in the local post office from before Shabbat. Right, if you're getting it through that day. So, we can get into a whole conversation about that, just giving you some practical applications of the concept of Tchum Shabbat. So how does it apply to our Mishnah over here? The witnesses are allowed to violate Tchum Shabbat
to
testify. Here's the problem, though. Once you go outside of your Tchum for violating Shabbat, and now your job is over.
Now you can't do anything.
Now you're stuck. The rule is, now you have to stay there, right?
Now you can't leave.
Right, you can't leave. Right? Because now you are outside of Tchum. By the way, I'll give you another very practical example of Tchum Shabbat. Getting off a cruise ship.
That's why they tell you can't get off?
Right, why can't you get off the boat?
You can't get back
because
off.
You've established your body, your presence on the boat. Once you get off of the boat, you've now entered a new Tchum. You would not be able to walk
the
more than 4 amot.
The boat is your Tchum?
Exactly. You would not be able to walk more than 4 amot. Outside of once you get onto the thing, that's the issue.
Prior.
Unless you dock prior, and then you make and you get off the boat before Shabbat, and you make koneh shevita on the land. There's a whole very very complicated.
If you got off, let's say Friday afternoon,
yeah,
and you get back on Friday,
yeah,
you can.
Yeah, you dock. But you'd have to have gotten off the boat and been koneh shevita. There's a long conversation, right? There's a long big issue
it's
when it comes to.
It's always good when the day at sea is Saturday.
Right. You know? So then that's a whole other issue of whether or not you're even allowed to do that.
Well, what
when
issue?
When did the cruise leave?
Oh, what do you mean? Let's say I left Sunday. Regular cruise left Sunday. Shabbat is
so you were already sailing from Sunday, and now so then you're good to go.
No, you're saying the previous port.
Within 2-3 days.
When did it leave the
previous port? It left
Thursday. That's the previous port. If you went on your journey and started from Sunday, so then you're okay to go.
When is it not okay?
When your cruise starts on a Thursday. Big problem,
cruise starts on a Thursday.
Cruise is starting on a Thursday or Friday. You can't get on it. Why? Before it starts, because now you're guaranteeing that you're putting yourself in a situation where you're gonna have to be mechanel Shabbat, where you're gonna be on the boat and it's going. Meaning, the 3 days prior to Shabbat are considered like part of the Shabbat. So now you know I'm getting on this boat, and I'm gonna have to sail on Shabbat, and other people are gonna have to sail for me on Shabbat. And there's a potential also. There's a big mahlokit. We can do it one time. There's a big mahlokit amongst the commentaries as to why the Gemara says you're not allowed to get on the cruise ship 3 days before Shabbat. The question is why. Why? What's the reason? Based on that reason, there's a whole mahlokit about today's cruise ship. So, like, another reason that's mentioned is that if you get on.
That's an important class, because
if it's a private boat, it's very different.
What do you mean, private boat?
If it's your boat or you're chartering.
Worse.
Why? Then it's your instruction.
No. Yeah, then you're instructing them to sail on Shabbat for you.
You're instructing them not to sail on Shabbat.
If they don't sail on Shabbat, then you don't have a problem.
Well, I want to leave Thursday.
Right.
I'm going to the island.
If you're not going to sail on Shabbat, if you're going to be docked on Shabbat, then nobody has a problem.
Right.
The problem here.
For sure.
Right. The problem here is that. No, I thought you were going to say if you get on your own. No, it's worse in the sense if you get on your own boat and you let the captain continue sailing for you on Shabbat, then you're instructing him to sail for you on Shabbat. That's no good. Right? For sure going to be the worst. The issue is that you're getting on the boat and the people are sailing on your behalf. So the question is, well, you're going to tell me the majority is non-Jews. He's not necessarily doing it for me. So there's a whole list of conditions that you have to do. You got to make a deal with the guy from before not to do it, and then he does it anyway.
I would think this is a good clip because the vacation starts on a Thursday.
Right.
So a lot of people might get on a Thursday. That's when this vacation starts. Right. I mean, most start on Sunday.
Obviously, and the people Jews
most
don't go
start on
Saturday.
Sunday.
Right. So this is an interesting question, but that's also for
actually they have those 3 day ones that start on Thursday.
Three, four day ones.
It's a problem. Right, another reason that they said it. Well, I'm not going to get into it. We're going to move it because we got off topic.
Jamie,
but it's good. It's good. Actually, it was me who got everybody off topic. I was trying to give you some applications about Tchum Shabbat, where Tchum Shabbat might come into play for you at this point. So the issue here is that these witnesses have overdone their Tchum Shabbat, but legally, because they were allowed to. The problem is once their task is finished, now they are stuck there. So the Mishnah tells us, Barishona, in the beginning, Lo hayu zazim misham kol hayom. The witnesses got stuck there and had to stay in that yard the duration of Shabbat. However, Rabban Gamliel, the elder Rabban Gamliel, noticed that this is a problem. Why is this a problem?
People don't want
to. Now people are going to be deterred from coming. I don't want to come on Shabbat now. Let's say it's a summer Shabbat, and I started from the morning. Now I'm stuck in the yard till 8 o'clock at night. I don't want to be stuck there. I'm not going. It deterred people from wanting to go. So Hitkina Ben Gamliel Azaken, Ben Gamliel determined he made a takana. What's a takana?
It's like a rule against
situation.
Right, so it's important to just understand rabbinic jargon, rabbinic language over here. There's a difference between a takana and a gezerah. A gezerah, a decree, is something that the rabbis put in to protect potentially violating another isur. So the rabbis instituted chicken and milk because then you might come to eat meat and milk. Right, one will lead to the other. That's a gezerah. It's a fence to protect a particular isur. A takana is something that the rabbis institute to solve a problem. Not necessarily not allowing it alone, but to solve a problem. I'll give you another example of a takana. We're going to see a few of them here. But another example of a takana is the rabbis instituted to read the Sefer Torah on Monday and Thursday.
So you don't go 3 days.
So you don't go a few days without studying Torah. They saw a problem. They solved that problem, they filled that need in by establishing a new thing to be able to do. So here again, Rabban Gamliel saw a problem. We have a problem here that people who are not allowed now to go outside of the tchum after their job is done, they're stuck in the yard, are not coming to testify for the Kiddush HaChodesh, and that's a problem. So he made a new institution that what? Sheyehu mehalechim alpaim amah lechol ruach. That the witnesses, even after their task is done, they get a new Tchum Shabbat, a new 2,000 Amot, which is usually the Tchum Shabbat, to be able to walk in any direction. So they re-establish their Tchum in that area.
Okay.
They made it bigger.
Exactly. Well, what happens is wherever a person is before Shabbat, that's his dwelling place, he has 2,000 Amot, about 3,500 feet to any direction to be able to walk. That's his Tchum. Now once he goes out of that, he's stuck. So the Rabbi Gamliel over here said, when you get to your new place and then your task is over, you get a new Tchum Shabbat. You restart your Tchum Shabbat, a new on Shabbat. You get another 2,000 Amot to any direction. expanding it, making it bigger, reestablishing it. And this allowed people to be able to travel out of the yard, even if they were witnesses, and so that now took care of the discouragement for them to come in and testify.
When you say stuck, what do you mean by stuck? They can't go back in?
Correct. They have to stay there. They can't move. They have to stay there for the rest of the day. They can't leave the yard. They have to be stuck there. Velo elu bilvad. Not only for these did he establish. Ela af ha-chama ha-ba'aleled. He gave this takana. He established not just for witnesses coming to testify for Kiddush HaChodesh, but also he did it for a few other cases. A hachama. Hachama is a nurse who goes, a midwife who goes to help a woman give birth. Right? So that's sakanat nefesh. The person's life is in danger. She could travel very far distance to go and help her. But now once the child is born, she's no longer needed. Now she's stuck there. Rabban Gamliel said also her. She gets another 2,000 amot to be able to walk. V'haba lehatzil min hadeleka, a person who comes to save someone else from a fire. U'min hagayis, from an army. U'min hanahar, or from an overflowing river, a flood. U'min hamapolet, or from a damaged construction, a building which is falling, ruins. Hare'elu ke'anshe ha'ir, these people become like the members of that city. V'yesh lahem alpayim amah lechol ruach, they now have a new tchum of 2,000 amot to every direction.
Is this why the Hatala guys could go home after a call?
No. No, it's based on some. This is only talking about tchum. I mean, it's a similar concept, but it's not necessarily connected to this halakha. There, the reason why they're allowed to go is because they are people who save people's lives, and so if they stay in their current place and then they get another call, they're now further away from their headquarters to
really
be able
so
to do
true,
it.
Though, but okay,
why?
It may not be true.
If you go to Mammoth Medical and you're sitting there, you still could go on a call in Long Branch.
Yes, but there's this idea that them being back at their normal starting spot,
so it's nothing to do with allowing them. Like in other words, I would think maybe
it also could have to do with that.
I'm not going to do this call.
So there's another concept of what they called hithilu hazarata mishum sofam. The rabbis allowed the end because of the beginning. Like what, for example? Person has a case where he's not sure if the person is in sakanat nefesh. He's maybe yes, maybe no. Now he's going to have to go take him to the hospital, but now he's going to be stuck in the hospital. So the rabbis allowed, they made certain concessions for the person to be able to return back home so that he'll be encouraged to go in the first place, not to potentially, oh, it's not really so bad, it's okay. Start to convince yourself and you're potentially,
exactly.
Now, but now you're potentially causing someone to be in danger because, right. You know, you're not really 100% sure. So there is that concept of hitchilu hazarata mishum sofam, and this is also what Abban did in order to encourage people to be able to do the things that they need to do, like coming to testify, helping people. He reestablished their Tchum Shabbat to be more than 2,000 amot, so that they'll be encouraged to do those things.
Okay.
Any questions? Okay. We'll cap it at that.
Very nice.